lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What a wonderful life it is living for the Lord. As we look into the book of Romans, we discover that Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 that there is freedom from the power of sin. But it doesn't mean that everything is going to be a bed of roses for us, I say, people. As long as we're in this world, we will have trouble. Remember, the Lord himself was tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And we read of that in the New Testament. He was tried and he was tempted. We will be as well. We will be led away with our own lusts. And when we are led away by the flesh, that is sin. And we need to remember that God gives us the victory in this life. That doesn't mean that we'll always do everything exactly right. And that's the reason that God says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, let's look in Romans chapter as we look into this chapter today, and we're going to look in chapter 8, and we're going to start with verse 5. And I would ask you to have your Bible open to chapter 8. Now, once again, I remind you that if at all possible, have your Bible open, and I pray that you're using the Word of God, and that is the King James Bible. That is the Word of God. Well, notice now in verses 5 through 8, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. For so then," it doesn't say "for so," it says "so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Well, I believe what Paul's trying to tell us here is that those who set their minds on things of the Spirit and not the flesh, pleasing God, in other words, we are to set our minds upon the things of God. We are not to give ourselves to the flesh or to give in to the fleshly desires of this life. Now, it happens, but the reason we get saved and we are saved is to put forth the effort through the Spirit and not pleasing the flesh, but pleasing God. If we keep in mind that we are to be pleasing to God and not to our flesh, then that spurs us along and helps us to understand that we need to have freedom from the power of sin. Let the Spirit of God dwell in us, in other words, and he does dwell in us. And those who have trusted him as Savior, and as we keep reading, we see this in verses 9 through 11, those of us who know Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit lives within us and gives us power. Verse 9, it says this, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." In other words, we're not carnal. We're not to be carnal, but in the Spirit. Not to let the flesh govern our lives, but we're to let the Spirit of God govern it. It says, "But ye are not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Now, we know when we get saved that we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Verse 10 goes on to say, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken," in other words, make alive, "your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Well, for those who have the indwelling Spirit, Paul is saying that This is freedom from the power of sin. This is how we have the freedom. This is how we get the victory. It's by the Holy Spirit. And if any man has not the Spirit, he's none of Christ. In other words, when you get saved, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and nobody can be saved and not have the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. Nobody is saved apart from having the Spirit of the Lord. When you get saved, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, you are saved. Some people will teach you that you do a certain thing and then you pray to get the Spirit. But what you do is you pray to ask Jesus to come into your heart. You pray to get saved. And the moment that you ask Jesus to come into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell and indwell you according to the book that we're reading. And that book is God's holy word. That is the Bible. Once again, it talks about the indwelling Spirit here in verse 9 through 11 of Romans chapter 8. Notice with me, if you would, verse 12 and 13. He's saying now, because of what we've just read in Romans 8, 9, chapter 8, verses 9 through 11, he says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." He says there is freedom from the power of sin to those who, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body. Once again, we are going to have problems in this life. But we are to strive, not to be saved, but because we are saved. We are to strive to do the things of the Spirit of the Lord. Let the Spirit of the Lord take control of our bodies. In other words, Paul goes on to say there is freedom from the power of sin to those who are the children of God and joint heirs with Christ. He tells us this in verses 14 through 17. Starting with verse 14, Paul says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For if you have not received the spirit of bondage again, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. But the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." And it, once again, these verses, it talks about being glorified together. And we could say, be glorified together with him. That's with the Lord. The Bible's not teaching here that we suffer in order to go to heaven. We are not made joint heirs with Christ by suffering, but that suffering will take place for the most part, and many times in our lives as Christians, because just as he suffered, we will suffer, but not to the extent that he did. He suffered the death on the cross. He shed his blood for you and me. He suffered more than any person has ever suffered in this world, and who will ever suffer. He suffered the death of the cross that you and I could be set free. Not only set free to go to heaven, but set free from the power of sin. And one day, thank God, we'll be set free completely from that power. As long as we're in the flesh, there's a warfare going on. And what Paul is telling us in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, he's telling us that there is freedom from the power of sin to those who are the children of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Now, you need to understand there is no such thing as sinless perfection in this world. As long as we're in this body, we're going to have trouble. There is going to be sin that is in this old body. And once again, that's the reason the Lord says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to strive to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, doing what he wants us to do and not what the old flesh wants us to do. Well, verse 18 of chapter 8, the Bible's teaching us here. It says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The present sufferings, notice those words, present sufferings. Paul seems to be saying that it can't compare with the future glory that we're going to have once our bodies have been changed and we go to be with the Lord. Verse 19 says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." You see, the whole creation waits enthusiastically for the unveiling of the children of God. When that takes place, the whole creation is going to be set free. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4 says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." We're going to be changed. These foul bodies are going to put on incorruption, just like our Lord. All creation is eagerly awaiting the revealing and glorious liberty of the children of God. That's what the whole creation is waiting for. And not only will the children of God be delivered from the slavery of this rotting earth, putrefaction of sin, but everything created will be delivered, will be set free. Notice with me as we look at verse 20. It says, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope." The creation was unnaturally forced to be ruled by everything that is worthless. In other words, everything that is vanity is worthless. Vanity. This means emptiness, frustration, disappointment. The creation, that's nature, became subject to vanity after man's fall into sin when God cursed the earth. The whole universe felt the effects of Adam's sin. It was not just on man, it was on everything. And notice the verse 20 says, "not willingly." In verse 20, it says that the whole creation unwillingly is made subject to vanity. The world of nature did not choose to be under the curse. The animals did not hold a convention and all decide that they would voluntarily place themselves under a divine curse. It was Adam who made the choice, and God who brought the curse. He let it happen. Now notice that verse, it says, "but by reason of him." And that word "him" refers to God, who pronounced the curse and also gave hope. God gave the curse and he gave hope. Isn't that something? And we see this hope comes through Jesus Christ. Even as our nature has been brought to this state of vanity, we have hope in Jesus Christ. We see that this has happened and brought this state of vanity, the way that in the place we live in, there is hope. There is an expectation. The future brings a promise of hope. And thank God in verse 21 it says, "because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Thank God the curse will not last forever, according to that verse. The whole creation, according to verse 22, is groaning right now. We know that the whole creation groaneth, it says, "and travaileth in pain together until now." The whole creation, everything groans. There is a deep moan. It's travailing, laboring, as if being in pain and suffering, and is now, even now, in labor. The teaching of the Scripture is that creation is at present in a state of captivity, waiting to be loosed from the bondage that sin has caused. All creation eagerly awaits for the healing and glorious liberty of the children of God. We will be delivered from this old body one day. We'll be going up to be with our Lord. If you've never trusted him, you have not been delivered. You do not have eternal life, but you can today by trusting him as your Lord and Savior. And one day I'll see you personally. I may not know you right now. I may never see you in this earth. But once you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'll see you one day and we will rejoice together.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.